Welcome to episode 69 of Sound Out Wave.
Nice.
Don't. The first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I'm great at Transformers.
And I'm Greg, and I'm getting better at Transformers.
And this week, we discuss Optimus Prime issues 5 and 6.
Well, I tell you what, it's good to be back. I'm really excited for you guys to check out the Third Record series that Nick and I worked on. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Haven't listened to whoever you had on. Probably nobody important.
He's a little known. Yeah, he's a bit of a lesser known name in Transformers. But I think he's on the up and up. He's an upcoming artist.
You know, I've been doing podcasts for a long time. I don't think anyone's gonna really shock and surprise me here. Let me just ask, who did you have on?
Again, it was a little known up and coming writer named James Roberts.
Never heard of him. Mm-hmm. Never heard of him.
You will.
Probably not gonna.
You don't think he's gonna make much of a splash?
Probably won't last very long, to be honest.
Just because, since he's not on your radar now, you think, like, it's...
I tell you what, if I was his publisher, I would restart his series after 57 issues.
Oh, kind of shake it up.
That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to my very close personal friend, James, for filling in for me when I was busy getting run over by Buffalo.
I'm glad we found you. I told the Transformnauts to call me if they heard from you. And sure enough, later that night even, they were like, Mom, Greg called, Dad called.
It helps that they're big enough that they can see the entire Western Hemisphere
right.
at once.
Like, they were getting a call on their tiny phone. And then also they, like, looked in your direction. They're like, oh, there he is. And then they let me know.
And I'm safe. I made it just in time.
Yeah, you made it back. You
missed the podcast.
And here we are back again. We're thrilled to have you back. And a moment, sidebar of sincerity here. Thank you so much again to James Roberts for
absolutely
being just an absolute prince and a hero and hopping in and helping me out last week. Very much appreciated. I hope you all enjoyed it. I know it was kind of out of left field. I hope you guys liked the episode. But we're back with actual books this week.
We
got some new stuff.
None of those fake books we usually do.
Yeah, like, we're not just going to make up the story this time. We have some actual published content to discuss. And it's a book that we haven't touched on in a while.
It's good old Optimus Prime by Sir Jonathan Barber.
Mm-hmm. Sir Jonathan of Barber.
And we have... Optimus Prime is not on the cover of this, of course, because that'd be ridiculous.
Nah.
We have RC with that trademark DeviantArt sword.
She's got her fire
sword. Ready to slash into Space Lobo. Robot Lobo.
Robo Lobo.
Space Lobo.
Space Lobo. That's it. It's Rekgar.
It's Rekgar.
Yeah, I'm just noticing his little, like, sad crying pin. He's got, like, a little smiley face pin that's, like, crying.
Aww.
Because he's getting beaten up by an angry, angry bot.
Rekgar.
It is. And I do, like, and obviously we're going to get into it. We get a little bit more out of him. And even our previously pages, because it has been a minute since we've been in with Optimus Prime in these books, we'll remember that the Junkions... AKA the Junkers, have their Quintessence ship, it looks like. And it's the one that looks like a screw, like a giant screw.
Big old, yeah.
And they kind of, they showed up and interrupted this meeting that Optimus was having with, like, world leaders. And the Junkions showed up and were like, hey, we caught your adorable, precious, perfect Cosmos. We beat this guy up. Also, P.S., here come a ton of Sharktacons. Have fun.
Yeah. So that's not a great way to spend a brunch.
Yeah. So there's some stuff to deal with here. Some stuff to unpack. We have our robot roll call at the beginning. We can see we're still dealing with a now and then situation. We have our flashbacks that we'll be going to every now and again between Orion Pax, Jetfire, and your personal favorite, Prowl.
Cannot get enough of that P-Roll.
Let's get some more Prowl up in here.
But we don't start there. Nah. We don't start with any of those guys. We start with Jazz.
We start with Jazz. He is trying too hard. No, he's fucking kidding.
Kind of stalking somebody.
Yeah, I'm going to be real with you guys. Because this, like, we touch on this not too much in these issues. But straight up, I kind of hate this. I kind of hate this situation. I am not a fan of what Jazz is doing. I kind of hate this entire side story here. He's following this girl.
So we remember when we first got into this series, which was, I think, two or three or so, or one or two or three. Jazz had this encounter with a lady in Mexico City.
Yeah, there was like a riot or like a protest going on in Mexico City, and Jazz was there.
And she was like, damn these Autobots, these darn, are they vehicles? Are they cars?
Yeah,
are
she was like, robots? Cybertronians, get out of here.
I don't get it. Yeah, Cybertronians out of U.S., and Jazz is like, whoa, 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 lady, not all Cybertronians.
Yeah. And
she was like, I don't want to talk to you. And he's like, yeah, but like, I'm going to follow you around a whole bunch. And she's like, yeah, no, thank you, please. Bye.
Yeah. Like he's like the last time we even saw him, he was like hanging around outside her house. And like now he, unless that happens in these ones,
it's very Edward Cullen.
It's a little Edward Cullen. It is. And here's the thing. Here's just a disclaimer. I adore Jazz. I always, always have. I can't wait to whenever we get to like Gen 1, like all the way back to the original show. Like it's kooky and campy and just so goofy. But Jazz is, you like him. He's a likable character. He always has been. This though, not cute. Not a cute look, Jazz. Following this poor girl around. Leave her alone, maybe.
It's a weird thing to do.
It's kind of creepy. And he's like, he is trying to like speak to her, and he's even speaking Spanish to her, and she's just like, oh my God, leave me alone. And he's very insistent on her knowing that like he wants a second chance. And I don't like it. I don't like this entire scene. I just really don't. It really creeps me out. I've kind of been in her position here, which is why, like, not with a giant talking robot, because that would make things a little bit different. But I've been here where it's like, oh, I've asked you to leave. Please just do it. So, like, the scene
Great. Heads up to anybody. Don't be Jazz in this situation.
Let this be
If somebody tells you to go away, go away.
Yeah. Just maybe be like, I will leave you alone. And, like, just step back.
Piece of dirt.
They'll appreciate it. I promise. They might not follow up, but that's okay. They're allowed to not follow up with you. You have been respectful of them.
Just as happens anytime anyone hangs around somebody when they don't want to be around, that person gets attacked by a bunch of shark decons.
That's what's going to happen too. So, you know, for your own sake as well, like if you're just purely selfish, something to
stay away of.
Yeah. You might get attacked by shark decons, and sure enough, here they come. To me, again, okay, so a couple thoughts just in, like, came to mind as we're, like, scrolling through here, because this is where we get, like, our title drop. We're in part 5, Future Glory's Lost, and we can see, the Sharktacon's kind of raining down where Jazz is. I have to point out, great colors. I love that pink and that yellow, that, like, acid yellow and acid green next to that, like, pink.
Curvy crackle happening up there.
It's
the Sharktacons look really, really cool, drawn by Kay.
Yeah, Kay, like, kills it with the Sharktacons for sure.
It's
all very classic.
Those are
looking.
Rad designs. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, 80s Marvel.
Yes, for sure. Well done, Kay. Well done, Josh. You guys are great.
Great job. And so we go to, again, the Quintesson ship. Is that what you called it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like piercing Metro Titan.
It like has fully just, made contact and gone through the Metro Titan, which that's a big boy. Leave him alone.
Let him nap.
He was just hanging out. And now here you come. And we can see we have other ships around here. We have some of the Earth forces around here. And they're above the Matterhorn.
And speaking of boys who need naps, Cosmos is just like shredded up. He ain't looking too good.
No. Poor Widow Cosmos. Yeah, he's been brutalized a little bit. And we can see that there's some narration here. There's narration, of course, in each of these issues. There's usually a narrator. This one has pink boxes, which leads us to believe, and then is confirmed, it's RC.
Yes. I hope you, dear listener, greatly enjoy the mechanic of narration that is ambiguous as to who it is up until it is not. Mm-hmm. Because that seems to be a recurring theme throughout these books.
Yeah, John uses that a lot. It's an interesting device. And then, of course, you get hints and, like, context clues where you're like, I think I know who that is, but sometimes you're not entirely sure. But she's just kind of remarking that, like, she's been around a very long time, which is true. Arcee is a very, very old Cybertronian. And she's saying, like, she's seen so many different Cybertronians, and she's seen the people with ideas, and she's seen these ideas come crashing down. And it's kind of her, like, remarking on this. Like, it's her making a commentary on Optimus's great big idea, which is kind of where we find ourselves now. Like, here's the crashdown. It's him, you know, like, the Junkions having attacked, essentially, and released the Sharkticons and pierced into the Metro Titan. And we do get a really great scene coming up here in a couple panels, but Optimus, of course, they were meeting with, like, delegates of Earth and, like, yeah, world leaders. Yeah. And so Optimus is like, protect the humans. We, like, that is our goal here. Like, this isn't on them. Protect them. And,
there's a really good little name key for Aileron that she's about to become Air Force One, because
yeah,
any plane the president flies in is now Air Force One.
It's so great because yeah, Aileron is here with the humans, and it's her and Jetfire, and it's so adorable. They just start like scooping them up. They're like little tiny dolls. Like if you go and like scoop up your Transformers figures that you have right now, it's the reverse of that.
That's exactly correct. They're about to like put them in protective display cases.
Yeah, because she's and even like, Aileron.
Okay, now I'm gonna pose you guys.
Like, right, like I want you two to stand next to each other because you're my two faves.
You like crouch down like you're about to shoot a fireball.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love it. It is so cute. Even her saying, "I got a couple presidents," it's adorable. And Jeff Harvey like, "Great, I have the rest of the human delegation," and you can see, yeah, just armfuls of humans. And for once, humans look very cute in these in these books.
Well done.
Congratulations. And of course, like, we have President Viola Davis, and just all right. of like she's obviously always here anytime we're talking about human leaders. But then we cut back to kind of the little scout ship that Ramaj and Retgar are on, and they're kind of watching what they've just unleashed.
And yeah, Ramaj seems super jazzed about this. Yeah. Retgar is like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's a little more like low key. He's just like, okay, great. Like, let's just go. And
you know, I was really thinking like, this is all pretty good. This is okay. Whatever. I wish Spike Witwicky was here. I wish he would say something like really badass.
Good news. Good news, everybody. Guess who's here? Spike Witwicky. Here, I will say this, because in this very next panel, first of all, we have Soundwave, thank God. Decepticon Ally is his little tag here.
He'll figure this out.
We're like, oh, Soundwave, do you want to do something about this?
Good news, spoiler alert, he does.
He totally does. You guys know it. But this is the most I think I've ever liked Spike Witwicky, because he says, my daddy used to say you never go wrong with... And then he ruins it by saying with killing the robots. But initially, where I was like, you're going to... That's a sweet way to talk about your dad.
He's a daddy's boy.
He is a daddy's boy.
My dad, who owns a dealership, definitely used to say... I went to school with a lot of guys like Spike, is all I'll say. And so we cut back to Arcee and Skylynx and Sideswipe, who again is, if we remember, a not conscious.
No. Which we have goofed on the show that he is pretending to sleep. Like, he's just like, I don't want to deal with this stuff. In which case, yeah. I would not blame him. This is all kind
There's
of a hot
going
mess
on
Earth. Which, like, part of me really wants, like, 4 episodes from now, I want Sunstreaker to be like, are you guys fucking kidding me? He is faking. Like, they're all still, like, worried and wringing their hands, and Sunny finally shows up. He's like, Sideswipe, fuck off. Get up. And he's like, ah, you got me.
And they're like, Jetfire, you're a scientist. How didn't you know? He's like, you paid me $20.
He just slipped me some Shanix and I went with it. And then he kept like upping the ante.
Like, oh, like, very intense coma. Can't get him out of there.
He's not waking up. I don't know what to do. But yes, as far as wink, wink, everybody, Sideswipe's in a wink coma.
Arcee is just chilling like, well, I mean, yes, they're tearing up. The Sharkticons are tearing up all of Earth. But A, I don't care about Earth. B, I just don't want these Junkticons to stay alive so that we can get this damn thing to wake up Sideswipe so that I can stop caring about all this.
Yes.
And Cosmos gets saved by Soundwave. And this is such a good line.
I love it. Oh, God. No, yeah, it's a really, really great line. Because not only, yeah, we have Cosmos and Sideswipe. Or pardon me, Cosmos and Soundwave. So many good boys I just like so much. And yeah, Soundwave is kind of grabbing him because they kind of like threw Cosmos. They're just like, hey, here's your pet. And then they tossed him. So Soundwave is grabbing him. And yeah, Cosmos says, why do I always get beat up like this? Which, aw, heartbreaking. But then Soundwave gives him back his own power and says, because you can take it. And you're like, ooh, everybody He's could powerful. Use a sound wave. That's why you got us, babies. We're your sound wave.
We're sound.wave, everyone.
We are here for you. Guess you're what? Welcome. Whatever you're going through, you can take it.
We handle it. We checked.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. And then, yeah.
By the way, Pyra Magna is here, all the torchbearers.
We got the cadets.
The cadets, colonist soldiers, it says.
Yeah.
But come on, the cadets.
Baby cadets. They love Optimus Prime.
And Optimus is like, all right, well, I guess we got to fuck them up. So let's fuck them up.
Yeah. He's like, okay, they drew first blood. Let's do this. But before we retaliate, we do hop back to the then, 4 million years ago on Cybertron. Which, thank goodness. I know you were getting antsy because you hadn't heard from your fave.
Where is Prowl at?
Good news.
Gotta get that Prowl.
More good news, everybody. He's right here.
Prowl. That's Superman's dad's name.
Wait, what is Superman's dad's name?
A dumb bad joke. Don't ignore it. Keep moving.
Okay, continue on.
Optimus and Prowl are still like, hey, Jetfire, this is a thing, right?
We're still like, we're still unpacking this whole like Decepticon.
We're trying to clear Hefter's name.
Yep, this is still happening, everybody. And so Optimus keeps being like, listen, Jetfire, after school special, these people are using you. And
you're falling in with the wrong crowd.
This is a bad crowd, Jetfire. I'm a police boy. You should listen to me. And then Prowl is very he's very modest and says, good news, Jetfire. You're with the keenest tactical mind in the history of Cybertron. Okay, calm down, Prowl. Come on. But he does say he'll protect him. That's nice.
He says the keenest tactical mind in the history of Cybertron and the last honest cop in the city, implying that Prowl is not an honest cop. Just putting that out there.
For sure.
And he says, this will keep tabs on you. We're going to have you wear a wire.
Yeah, he's wearing a stone of far speech. look at my new lingo.
Well done.
Sorry, anybody who doesn't listen to The Adventure Zone or the McElroy Brothers. It's Optimus and, or pardon me, Orion at this point and Prowl being like, hey, we're still trying to get to the bottom of this, and Jetfire's their way in. And it's really sad. We suddenly get a very somber panel where it's Jetfire's just saying, I just wanted to be a scientist. And it's really sad. Poor baby.
And Optimus is saying, well, someday we'll all get to choose what we want to be, but not today. Do what I tell you.
True. Not today. But it is interesting because I'm like, babe, that's the Decepticon ideology.
Yeah, dog.
Someday like, you get to choose what you want to do. Yeah. Come on. Again, they were so close. It really was just like ships passing in the night. Like Optimus and Megatron. God, it was so close. And we've all seen it. We've all discussed it. But now we see, Jetfire is going to meet up with the Decepticons that he knows, his contacts, and it's Needle Nose, and some of his boys. And I do, like, even he calls out to Needle Nose, and Needle Nose is like, shut up, don't call me Tomcat, so like we agreed.
Don't use real names. Use my code name, Jeff Harrison.
Come on, man.
use my code name, Bill Everett. I like the idea that because all Transformers names sound like code names, they use human Earth names as code names.
I love it. So he's, what did you say, Bill Everett?
Bill Everett. Call me Roy Jackson.
I like that now Needle Nose has had three different human names in the span of this past minute we've discussed.
I'll just
this.
Keep going.
He really will. Jeff Shimada, that's one of them.
Call me Mary Engels.
Call me Barbara, damn it.
and so Jetfire's like, hey, what's up? I'm not wearing a wire. And they're like, yeah, we didn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
You don't seem cool enough to wear a wire.
We don't think anybody would associate with you, Jetfire.
And Jeff fires him like, here's all those guns, speaking into his shirt.
Yeah,
pocket.
He like leans his face down to like speak into his chest. Look at all these guns we have.
Better not tell Soundwave because he doesn't like guns. And they're like, ha, Soundwave told us to come get these guns. You loser. You're not cool.
Did you think this was the Pizza Hut book club? Did you think you were going to get
the
one of those?
The book it program?
Yeah. Did you think you were going to get
coupon
star stickers?
For a personal pan pizza?
The best thing Pizza Hut has to offer? A teeny tiny personal pan pizza?
Did you think you were going to get that, Jetfire?
Is that what you thought this was, Jetfire?
Well, you were right. Here you go, buddy.
We stopped by on our way here. Congratulations.
We swung over. Congratulations on reading 5 books.
I'm proud of you.
Good work, my dude. It's got pepperoni on it. Hope you like that.
Oh, hell, of course it does. And then we hop back to modern day Cybertron, where we have stepped away from the personal pan pizzas.
Optimus got his face busted, and we can see his teeth for some reason.
Right? Like, that's the impression I'm getting here, which is fucked up, because it looks straight up like zombie mouth.
We've seen his mouth
before.
Yeah,
it does not look like that. We can literally just scroll up a page, and we can see his mouth, and it does not look like that.
But so be it.
It's real creepy looking, and I don't know. I mean, Kay, listen, I'm with you, and I'm following you here, but what is that?
It's a good look. It's just not a look that's in continuity.
But he calls upon his Titan. He says, Metro Titan, I need you. And then the Titan, and we see this clarified at like a couple pages from here. He like half transforms. So like his arms are free and he grabs the Quintesson ship that's like bored into him.
Yeah. He's summoning Gigantor. And he's saying, take the fight to the Junkions. And we see RC and Skylynx up here like, man, pretty cool that the Autobot City is just like, listens to him, I guess?
Aileron. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
No problem. They are, yeah, everybody's just kind of like, oh, dip. Because even like, of course, the cadets are like, the city responds to him. Optimus Prime is just the best.
And even Rekgar is like, that's pretty rad.
He's like, listen, wife, like, this is, like, I'm with you because we're married, but also that dude's pretty intense.
He's like, that was cool, right?
It's really
that
cool. And she's like, I don't give a shit. We're gonna destroy everybody.
We're still killing that dude.
Yeah, we're still gonna destroy him. Eyes on me. Focus up, Rekgar. Come on. Which, like, I do kind of feel for her a little bit when you're like, sometimes you have that person, you love them so much, but you're like, come on. Focus up.
Just focus. Stay with me now. And so they are Optimus. They throw on the perception filters. Mm-hmm. Optimus is like, hey, they threw on the perception filters. Right. Don't focus on the perception filters, everyone.
Yes.
Because just kill everything.
Right. He was like, don't look at the ship. It's going to just confuse you guys, which we did touch on before. Like, the Quintesson ship is like, armed in a way to like confuse Cybertronians.
Right.
So he's like, just focus on fighting around it.
Which is why the humans were the only ones able to see it with their meat eyes.
Their
jelly cameras.
Yes, jelly cameras, just like low, like just archaic technology, jelly camera eyeballs.
They're weird biologies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it is funny because then we, in this next panel where they're Optimus saying like, we're going to finish this. And like, it's very action heavy.
I do like that Pura Magna says, damn, Optimus, that's ruthless. But also she's slicing a dude's head off.
She's mowing people down like, God, Optimus, intense much? And he's like, Pura Magna, come on. but I like that we get another little smiley face sticker also in the forefront here. The Junkions are just, again, they're just straight up junkers. Everybody's real happy and like manic. And like, maybe if only
I want to imagine a lot of their junk is all cast off Watchmen merchandise.
That's exactly what it was like. All these smiley face buttons are making me think we should have some Energon dripping on it. And we could just, I think the button is a thing that just started too. So like, let's throw them
like,
in.
Damn, I can't, DC was saying, I can't believe we didn't sell all this. Mm-hmm. And they just like, well, I guess we'll give it to the Junkions.
I guess, there you go. And of course we have Ramage, who is, she's kind of commanding here. And
looks cool in this panel.
She really does. She's intense. And like, that's, like, obviously I love Rekkar because he's just, he's Rekkar. And like, if you're like me and you've watched the 86 movie and you've seen the other iterations of him, you're just like, he's Rekkar. He's great. and she is clearly a very much a different, more intense figure than he was, but I'm down. I dig her. She's great. And I like her look a whole bunch. She's got a really cool kind of, all of them are, they have very cool cobbled together looks. But yeah, she's instructing everybody to like stick with it, fight off these dudes, remember that they destroyed our home, and like,
die for me.
There you go. And like, we're going to make this, like, they say, she says, destroy in the name of new Cybertron, which is a lot of people just really want to rebuild Cybertron, but all in very different images.
It's all very different Cybertrons. Mm-hmm. And we do remember they were sort of forced off their planet by a battle that just got swept, got swept up in the middle of the war.
A battle in the war, it destroyed the Junkion homeworld, which is where this fire ignited. And we have the torchbearers who combine.
Yeah, they look
thank
rad.
Thank goodness. They make it's, their gem fusion. It's a cool, like, gem snap fusion. Together
thing. Yeah. And we get a really cool panel of Victorion just like totally force pushing a bunch of dudes, Jedi style.
Yeah, she's using her gravity powers. We do get some interesting narration from RC here. She's talking about, in these couple panels, she says, I stood with the giants, and together we forged Cybertron's golden age. So again, RC is very old. Like, but then she says, but even I was just a lie I told myself. It wasn't until much later that I truly became me, which to me is a very fascinating and interesting way of speaking. And it's, I like, it's just a really interesting kind of commentary on RC and who she is now. And, you know, and obviously there's, you can take how she, her kind of creation and the RC that she is now. People can take it a number of different ways. We've touched it on the show before. But like, we like RC now. Like, we like the RC that she is, and she likes who she is. At least that's the impression that we get. Like, she's come into her own. And so, yes, she's saying that, like, now that she's truly become herself. And that's really interesting to me, and I like it. And then she says, and me was all I needed for a very long time. So again, this kind of reestablishes her kind of loner status, because in like feeling like she became herself, she was like, okay, this is good enough for me in the moment. And yeah, and that was just kind of some of the narration that I thought was very interesting while all of this action was happening with Victorion and with the Junkions. And then we cut to Soundwave, the prince, holding
what
Cosmos.
A good boy.
Oh my goodness. And he's, they're with some of the Joes who like Soundwave very much, because why wouldn't they? He's wonderful.
And this two panel, these two pages specifically, for some reason, seem very like 70s and 80s comics to me. Maybe it's the color palette, I don't know. But like, it just looks like G.I. Joe. It looks
classic. It's got a nice, really comforting kind of nostalgic feel to it. I'm with
you. Strong lines, good colors.
Good composition, like interesting composition. Yeah, for sure. And we have, Soundwave has, of course, caught Cosmos, and poor Cosmos, again, we can see he's just been beaten. And I like it, because the Joes that we, these Joes here that we like, are like, what do we do? Like, we're kind of at a loss here. And they're kind of looking to Soundwave for help and for guidance.
Like, this is cool.
It's really cool.
Neat collaboration.
It's very, very, it says a lot about the kind of bridges that have been built between Soundwave and this, at least, group of Joes. And we can see they're trying to help Cosmos, which is adorable, because, like, the humans are so much smaller, so even, like, Sanjay on Cosmos, Cosmos is like, get off. It's like a little cat. Like, if a little tiny kitten was gonna climb on you and, like, try to help you out, and you're like, what? You're just stepping on me.
And he's, like, hooking up jumper cables and stuff. I love it. They're discussing the Sharktacons and saying, well, we figured there were thousands and thousands of beings on that ship, but now we know how. They were just like,
they were
packing
just
them in
there. It was just like this barbaric kind of means of like just like sardining a ton of them in the ship.
And this is so fucking good. It gets really good. Like,
it gets really good.
Soundwave is like, wait a minute. These guys, these Sharktacons are just dudes and they're being mistreated. And that's my whole thing.
Yeah, I'm all about this.
They're like, it's a really good line. He says, they are an underclass. And fortunately for us, class war is my specialty. And he blasts off like fucking Superman.
Oh, like fucking Superman. Exactly. And he knows what he's got to do. And he does. Oh, God. It gets so good, you guys. If any of you were reading this and like prepping to listen to the show and did not think we were going to both just kind of like sit here and fangirl about Soundwave, then you got to listen to more of the show. Because of course we're going to sit here and fangirl about Soundwave in this moment.
He's a prince of princes, a king of kings.
He really is. And he is trying to appeal to the Sharktacons, which even before we get into exactly what he says, the fact that his means of responding to the situation is to be like, right, I'm going to get up here and talk to them, is huge. Nobody else is doing that.
Because they look like friggin' rabid Sonic 2 enemies. And then you're like, wait a minute, these are guys.
They're guys.
And Soundwave is like, hey, I have friends who look like Sonic 2 enemies, mm-hmm, and I love those guys. Aren't these guys just guys, huh?
Yeah, and he like stands like arms outstretched, and he's reaching out to them, and immediately, like, and one of the first things he says is, "You are being deceived," and literally, I got chills. I was like, "Oh, I'm in love with this already."
And he's like quoting toward peace, and
it's
just
beautiful.
The full like. I mean, I tweeted it. You did. It's really good. What a great boy.
I
love him.
Yes, you kind of screen capped some of these panels where, yeah, it's Soundwave quoting toward the piece. He's quoting Megatron's words and repeating them to the Sharktacons here about, you know, looking at the system and how they are being treated and how it is this prison. And you screen capped some of these panels and tweeted them. And I refrained from responding, purely because I was like, I will wait until the show, of course, to talk about this. And because, of course, like, even the words in Towards Peace are so good. Like, obviously, there's a reason the Decepticons became the Decepticons. It's because Megatron knows what he's about and he knows what he is doing. And so Soundwave quoting him to, and the Sharktacons kind of stop and listen to him.
So I will take this moment.
Please.
I forget if I've talked about this on the show or not. Somebody asked me back when everyone was doing like, oh, I'll do a top five list of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me what the top five Decepticons were.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought real hard and I put Soundwave at number one over Megatron because
sure,
like,
I could see that.
I think he's just and this page is exemplifying it so well. I think he's just the most pure example of the Decepticon cause. Like,
yes.
When, cause he was a freak who mm-hmm. was shunned and outcast and homeless, and he was just lifted up by people who didn't believe that and found this movement saying like everyone can be equal and you can persevere past that, and like he's just has no agenda other than like he's not power mad, he's not self-centered, he has no ego, he's the opposite of Shockwave, he's like not like Starscream at all, he
absolutely
just wants this socialist Decepticon utopia of like people can be what they want to be.
Yes.
And like the first thing he does once the Decepticon cause quote unquote fails, like after the war, he goes and forms a commune to do exactly what Decepticons are meant to do.
Right. And I'm totally with you. And exactly, it's exactly what you just said. It's the fact that because obviously, again, if this is your first time listening to our podcast, we identify very, very strongly with the purity, like
rather
the pure,
sympathetic.
Yes, like the pure intention of the Decepticon cause, which is equality. And yes, there's no, yeah, you get to do what you what your heart's desire is. But it's exactly like you said, and I think that is why, when it really comes down to it, Soundwave is just as much, if not the most pure Decepticon, like just as much as Megatron, if not even more so, because he was living the Decepticon cause before Megatron put it into words, which
right.
I appreciate so much because I can like, and that's one of those things I can relate to Soundwave on, because there are a lot of things I feel that I don't have the means to put into words, but But then when I hear other people say them, I feel very grateful. And then I'm willing to fall in. You know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to be like, yes. Yeah, that's
a really good way to put it.
Yeah. So, like, so that's where I feel like Soundwave is, whereas it's like, he's always felt this way. Because, like you said, yeah, he was bottom rung. He was this freak. He was this outcast. And he found other freaks and outcasts who sympathized with him. And he wanted the best for his friends. And he wanted the best for himself. And they all wanted the best for each other. And then they found Megatron, who kind of gave them, you know, Megatron was exactly what they needed to kind of rally themselves into what the Decepticons became.
Absolutely. Like, without Megatron, there is no Decepticon cause. Like, yes. Make no mistake about that.
Yes.
But I think that as we've seen, and I just got brief glimpses of, like, I think that Megatron has problems with his own ego and sort of with,
for sure,
you know, yeah, a lot, like, obviously space genocide and racism kind of is a thing. But, like, even on the next page here, we see Soundwave with Starscream. And, like, obviously Soundwave and Shockwave are, like, a huge juxtaposition that I think is probably, like, emblematic. But Soundwave and Starscream are, like, just as big at that to me. Because, like, Starscream is, like, the pragmatic, ruthless, like, we will achieve our goals by any means necessary.
Yes.
Whereas Soundwave is absolutely this idealist who is like, we will not compromise ourselves to achieve something that should not be compromised. Like,
yeah. Well, and that's where, like, and this has been my kind of my thoughts on, and it, like, it's a little bit headcanon, but even, but it's backed up in the narratives that we get in different continuities with these guys. That's where, to me, it always felt so right that both Prowl and Starscream kind of assumed the same positions in the Autobot and the Decepticon causes. Because it was like, because they had their idealistic leaders, and then both idealistic leaders had their kind of seconds who were like, and now I'm going to do what I got to do to get us to the next tier of this. Like, I will play the game, and I will. So that's where, to me, I always really appreciated how Prowl and Starscream stacked up against each other.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm totally with you. I think that that's a really great parallel. Like, that those are, but I also think that position with, like, both of those guys is inherently flawed. And,
oh,
like,
for sure. They're both, I mean, obviously.
That's precisely what I don't like about both of those characters. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I like Starscream a bunch more.
Like, if you
just because Starscream is, like, charming and losers half the time, and
Starscream's got his flaws that make him, well, and even, of course, even especially, like, recently in the books with Marigrid, like, helming Starscream right now, he's really, like, we're getting some really, really great stuff from Starscream as far as the books are concerned. But even even outside of that, I think there's so much where, like, Prowl has always been, like, operating in the shadows, and maybe this is the difference. Prowl is very much a shadow operator, where Starscream does not give a shit who knows what he's up to. Starscream is going to put it all on the table. Here he is. Deal with it.
And anything that he does not want you to know, he still doesn't care, but you won't be able to prove it.
Yes.
So, like, you know.
So, like, yeah, there's, like, some charm, some, like, skeezy fucking charm coming from Starscream that you're like, all right, okay.
Exactly. He's just, he's gruesome in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Prowl, and again, Starscream fucks up all the time.
Oh, all the time.
Loses and gets his fucking ass handed to him, whereas Prowl gets constantly rewarded for all his dumb, underhanded bullshit.
Which, again, is very interesting, and I'm so interested in us touching on other continuities, because that's not always the case, again. Okay. And I know I say that every time the Prowl is,
and,
like,
I mean, like, that's exactly, like, that's probably my chief problem with Prowl. And, like, when we've seen other people do Prowl, the one time I saw it was when James did Prowl at the end of More Than Meets the Eye. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, this is fine, because Prowl is falling on his fucking face half the time.
Yeah.
I can
humanize him
that
a little bit. Yeah. For lack of a better
term.
More
tolerable. Mm-hmm. I don't know about humanize, but it makes him tolerable.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. And so we do go to this page with Soundwave and Starscream here.
Yeah.
And Starscream is saying, like, yeah, dog, we're running the hell out of some guns.
Yeah, absolutely. And right. And he's, yeah, and he's Starscream, and it's exactly, you know, like I was saying, it's like he's putting it out there. He doesn't care, because in the end, he's going to get what he's aiming for, or it's going to blow up in his face. But either way, he's all in, which is admirable to a degree, honestly. And Soundwave is hesitant here, and which is exactly what you would expect him to be. Like, it's exactly what we would expect of Starscream, or of Soundwave and Starscream. But Soundwave is, because they're talking about, you know, that this plan, this, like, gun running and, you know, this kind of like shadow right. dealings that they're doing, it's going to get
these things
Decepticons
are necessary.
Killed.
Yes. And obviously it got Hefter killed in some
yeah.
capacity.
And Starscream's fine with it. And
yeah,
of course, Soundwave
like,
isn't.
Look, eggs crack, my dude. That's how this works.
Yeah. And yeah, he's right. So yes, he's being exactly what we'd expect from Starscream. Just like it's a necessary sacrifice. And I do love, and we get a really, again, Soundwave, sidebar, John, God, great job writing this dude. I appreciate it so much.
Yes, very good Soundwavery.
I appreciate it. Like, and again, we already know I love the way he writes Wheeljack. I really love the way he writes Soundwave. You're treating the guys very good, and I appreciate it. But he's saying, Soundwave says that he had a moment of doubt, but then he clarifies very quickly about the tactics, not about the cause, which I appreciate. Even that little moment, like, of him saying, like, I mean about what we're doing, not the ultimate goal
right.
here, because that, to me, is very, also, again, it's a little nuance that's very indicative of Soundwave and his character. But then we cut to Orion kind of observing this.
Right. They obviously have a wire in mm-hmm. there. And he's like, I can't believe Soundwave lied to me. And Prowl's like, they're all Decepticons. Can't trust any of them. That's Prowl's voice, by the way.
It's right in the name. That's what he says. And Orion is a little beat up about it, which... I like this kind of, I don't know, this kind of echo to, like, look back at this moment way in the past and then to be mindful of the fact that, like, now these two are, like, working together in our present day. It's kind of cute. But yeah, Prowl's being Prowl. He's like, you can't take this personally. Other people have lied to you. Zeta, what a fucking liar. Constantly lying. That dude, you put up with that. And Orion kind of, I don't know, it's interesting because he kind of like comes up with an excuse for Zeta. He's kind of like, Zeta's trying.
Right.
He's trying his best to be Prime, and it's like, nah, babe, Zeta's
nah,
bad.
Babe.
But we can see like he's kind of grasping, he's grasping at straws here. Orion to me seems a little frayed here.
And he's totally going hard right here and being like, well, the Decepticons are running us, so we can't trust any of them. And we're going to have to, if they pull weapons on us, that means we're the cops and we're going to kill the bad guys.
That's exactly what happens. He gets very angry all of a sudden. And for what it's worth, to give him credit, Prowl's like, hold on. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean Hefter deserves, you know what I mean? He kind of tries
right.
to hold back and be like, hold up, Pax. But Orion is clearly, he feels immediately jilted and he feels betrayed and he's angry. And I, for what it's worth, I appreciate that in that last panel, his mask has snapped over his face. It's very, it's a powerful
it's intense.
Little move. Yeah. Well done, Kay. I like it. Or John, if it was his direction. In either regard, both of you. Well done.
And so we go back to our cadets here saying, yeah, let's save Earth because Prime, and one of them just gets the head cut off.
Oh.
And it's not even like cutting at the neck, cut through the damn head.
God, it's really bad. Euler, who has a twin sister.
Oh no.
It's super fucking sad. And of course
Yikes-a-loony.
She is just horrified. Like this, yeah, this sweet baby cadet gets his head chopped in two while his sister's
Ooh-wee.
Standing right next to him seeing it happen.
It's like splitting a watermelon.
It's so sad, dear listeners.
It's gruesome.
And RC's kind of, and of course, Euler, or, it's, oh, shoot. Gosh, what is her name? Give me a moment. It's Euler and Slide, I believe is her name. And
I believe you.
she, of course, retaliates immediately and, like, blasts the shit
right.
out of a Junkion. And we have, of course, this whole time RC is kind of narrating and...
Right. Talking about, you know, I had a friend and we know who that is. And so she talks about Sideswipe and saying, like, well, I don't think Sideswipe's my friend, but, you know, I could hang out with him and he's not dead, so that's a help.
Yeah.
Like,
she's, right, she's talking about mistrust and how she doesn't often trust people and people don't trust her. But it is, there's this sweet moment that, of course, y'all know I appreciate, unless this is your first time listening to the show, But if you've listened before, you know that I have my kind of my, like, my precious ones that I'm like, you guys are friends. And two of those are Sideswipe and RC. So I'm like, aw, I'm glad she's been
working hard.
Yeah, that he's important back to her. And we see, yeah, Slide is just kind of, right. Cause again, this narration happens over Slide, retaliating very, brutally to her brother being killed, which I don't blame her. Just tries. Then of course we see, and this is where then we do see, cause then we pan back and we can see the Metro Titan again, half transformed. This is where we get the clarification here. He's half transformed. Yeah. Like his upper torso is transformed and he's grabbing.
He's like a city tar.
His
top half is man and his bottom half is city.
That's exactly it. And he's gripped onto the Quintesson ship and it's, you know, it's messing up that whole deal is not going too well because there's suddenly a giant boy grabbing it. And Aileron is trying to reach out to Optimus and he's, I like it. He responds. He says, Aileron, things are getting out of hand. And even she says, you think? Because of really? All these people dying and all this fighting? A little bit out of hand.
It's not a good look.
And
Romaj is like, by the sacred voice of Wonderwall.
But even better, she says, we're out, which I love. It's adorable.
I don't know that one.
It's kind of like a little call to Weird Al. Like, that's what I took it to be. Because, of course,
good.
Weird Al
I didn't even think about that.
He did Dare to be Stupid. He's voiced Retgar before. So, at least, that's what I take it to be. I don't know if it's for sure, but that's what I read a Weird Al to be. Was like, a wink and a nod to Weird Al, who is precious, and I adore
I'll
very
take
much.
It. I love it.
Yeah, it's very, very great. I love that he is like a deity here. Thank God. He should be.
And yes, they say the Cybertronians are more deadly than before. And speaking of Weird Al, we see good old Retgar sort of looking even more like Lobo because he's shrouded in blue.
Yeah. And he's... I like it. He says, oh, Retgar, Wreck and Rule is what he says, which is cute because that's a callback to the Wreckers, which you know because you've written, you helped Nick
obviously.
Write. Yes, this third installment.
Huge amounts of work poured into that over that night that I did that.
But we can see he's got hesitation here. He's not all about everything that's happening outside. Like his other half, or
looking at Victorian, it's hard to be about everything that's happening out
for
there.
Sure. He's like, there is a huge, beautiful woman outside, and she's going to murder all of us.
And he's like, damn it, like, we didn't have a lot, and now they took our ship, too. Like, we're boned. Like, Rummagey, Rummy Cube, this is not good. Like, you gotta back out. And he's about to back out, but someone is not going to let him. And we remember who that is, because it was on the cover.
Yeah, we see them DA swords, them fire swords. Which, P.S., sidebar, dear listeners, I've been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild, so I'm like, oh yeah, I have swords like this. they're great. They're so good.
I believe you.
And so of course, she's our narrator here. And so she's kind of voicing over this moment where she's facing down Retgar. And it really is, she's very, very much, she's reaffirming the fact that Sideswipe's condition is what is driving her here. Like, her goal right now is to give Positron Core and to help Sideswipe. And so that's where she's cornering, you know, this
and
is where
you're
she's...
gonna take me to it. And he's like, well, I can't take you to it because I gotta hear.
Yeah.
And I like jokes. That's my thing.
Well done, Retgar. But I do like that he just kind of like, here, you can have it.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Like, I do not care. I would like to survive, please.
Yeah, which I appreciate. More of me being like, John, well done. I appreciate. Because, yeah, Retgar, I was a little bit worried, like, when we initially see him and he does give these very Lobo vibes, which is amusing artistically, but in the same time, I was like, but he's not like Retgar's like this kind of goofy and like you like him. You're just like, you goof. So I appreciate that.
He's more harmless than
he's a harmless kind of dude. So I appreciate that he's been handled that way. But don't worry, everybody. We're going back to Mexico City.
No, yeah. So don't worry, everyone. We go back to Mexico City and we see Jazz being weird.
Low key stalker action right here. Great. But right. Like, he's being attacked by Sharktacons because he is a Cybertronian, which is exactly what this poor girl who's just trying to go about her life was like, great, remember what I just told you? Like, you were ruining my life. Get away from me. This, here you go. Here's proof.
And then something cool happens. All these Sharktacons just stop.
Yeah, they're suddenly like, oh, hold up.
Also, because, I like that some of them are transformed. They look cool.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And that is what's really fun. I love the Sharktacon design. They're like little robots. They're little stout robots. Well, obviously, they're robots. But, yeah, they turn into, like, little humanoid-looking robots. And,
yeah, and Jazz is like, what is WTF?
This? Yeah.
With Marc Maron.
WTF, mate. What is this? And it's because our sweet, darling prince...
Words can inspire.
And that, which is what RC says in her narration, but then she says, but where inspiration meets reality, desperation rules.
But it's good old Soundwave is saying, like, hey, good job throwing off your chains of oppression. Now use them to kill your oppressors.
Yeah. Ooh, there he is. There's our boy. Which, and I do like that the Sharktacons around Soundwave have transformed. Like, most of them have gone into, like, robot mode. And they're all kind of looking at him. I love it so much because not only do we keep calling Soundwave a prince, which is a given, but it's sort of the similar vein of, like, when you say, like, oh, somebody's a Disney princess because they, like, birds fly around them. It's like, yeah, no, Soundwave is a sweet prince because, like, smaller little robots just listen to him. And, like, you could have Soundwave sitting in a field and, like, little tiny adorable robots would be like, oh, he's great.
I love it.
Yeah. And so the Sharktacons have been like, this dude's right. And
they turn on their oppressors. And there is a final panel of a sword up in Rekgar's face. And he's like, ah, shoot.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, this is going to get real bad, isn't it? Yep.
Yeah,
You called it, babe.
And that is number Funf. That's number five, everybody.
Is it?
Yeah, Funf.
Nice.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier, Funf. Man, high school was a long time ago.
I was like, look at you go. I took Spanish. I did not take German.
Good. Don't. It's not good.
Both of my sisters took German, and they went to Germany, so that's kind of cool.
No offense to any Germans or German speakers, but the language is not a good one.
You just offended all of our German listeners and our German speakers.
You know what?
You know what?
You know what, Germany? No. I wish I was there right now, because your political situation seems a whole lot better than ours.
There you go. We love you. There you go.
Love you.
I don't know how to say that in German.
Ich liebe Germany. Deutschland. There you go.
There you go.
Above Matterhorn Mountain today, number six.
We're hopping.
We got
right
Optimus
into the
next riding Skylynx, and there's a giant robot behind him.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I don't think it has much to do with the issue, but it's a cool look.
It is a very cool look. Yeah, we have Skylynx, who's like maw is like wide open.
Yeah, and
like
we rarely got like see
a,
that.
Yeah,
you like a gun uvula.
There's a gun uvula in there, and we've got the Metro Titan just angry behind him. And again, love this use of color and like this use of like atmospheric distortion here, and that he's faded. He's a bit further back, which really gives the impression of how big he is. Like that Autobot sigil on his chest, like your entire house and yard and probably like little like neighborhood could fit in like the eye of that Autobot symbol. But yeah, so we're on six, which is the book that just came out.
Yeah, this came out on Wednesday of the week that this episode is released.
Mm-hmm. So this is brand new. Hopefully this is exciting for everybody.
Hopefully it's exciting for everybody.
We have, look at these boys.
what a good little exchange this is. It's Frenzy and Rumble, and they're like, well, it's pretty clear we're going to die. Because they're about to get presumably shredded up by
right.
Something.
They're like framed in teeth. We can see that they're framed in like teeth with like robo spit dripping from the teeth. And they're like, "Well, I do wish I had killed more Autobots."
That's my favorite goof is the, a person who's like looking back on their life and like, you know, I wish I would have smoked more cigarettes. Like,
I wish I would have done more crime. To be frank,
More crime really would have locked things in there for me. But no, they don't get eaten because
they're sweet their sweet papa has just called them all off. They don't know papa. That.
Yeah, they're safe. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're here in my care forever and ever. Amen.
And P.S., even in this moment, you're probably thinking, are they going to go find Soundwave? And Soundwave's going to be like, big news. Congratulations. You have a million brothers and sisters. They're brand new. I just adopted all of them. That's what I think is going to happen here.
And they're like, did Cosmos do this? And they're like, no, Cosmos is way dead.
Which I do love. They say that Cosmos is as dead as Cheek Chips, which is a nice little like.
I figured that was a reference to something.
It's a zing back onto, it's kind of a pot shot at Needle Nose and Trax. That was the business that they were starting. When Trax was like, Needle Nose, you gotta be with me here. So yeah, a cute little callback. Well done. And so, we have our little sweet, some of our fave cassettes. All of our cassettes are our faves. But they're, like, making their way through the ship here, and they're like, oh, shit, there's RC.
Yeah, there's RC, and she's threatening a dude already. Like,
they're like, of course she is. But then they're also like, I mean, we could just go.
Yeah. RC is saying, like, you two, get out of here. We need to get the positron core from this guy to save Sideswipe. And they're like, why do we have to do that?
Yeah, they're like, I don't know who a Sideswap is, but I don't care about him.
Whatever a swap meet.
Yeah. A swap meet sounds like he's great, but I don't care about him. I care about Rumble and Frenzy, and we're both.
You haven't
fun.
Gotten us invested in the stakes here, RC. You really need to be a better storyteller.
RC, either tell a better story, put together a PowerPoint, something, because right now we do not care.
You gotta draw the reader in.
You gotta really just pan us a verbal,
please
a word picture.
Lay out, you know what? RC, let's establish a first, second, and third act so that we can really bring Frenzy and Rumble into the fold here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
You know what? Let's give you a voiceover in last issue. How about that? Does that sound
there you
good?
Go. Perfect. That way we can kind of get a read on her. And speaking of which, this episode, this issue, we have a new voiceover, and you can tell pretty quickly it's Optimus.
I really thought you were going to say, and speaking of which, this episode is brought to you by NatureBox.
I love NatureBox. I can't. Okay, sidebar. We'll get into this in alt mode. I have been blasting through the Adventure Zone, and every time Griffey's doing a commercial break, I'm like, God, I should. NatureBox does sound really good.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. You get a cute, talented boy to be like, listen.
He's like, you're gonna love these Pacific Island Pop Pops.
And I'm like, I want to eat those Pacific Island Pop Pops. I want to eat those little German waffles. I don't remember what
the French Toast Nummy Bars.
Right? They all have goofy names. And I want to try every single one of them. That's how they get you.
There you go, everybody. This episode brought to you by NatureBox.
Brought to you by NatureBox.
Use
go get your
offer
Pop Pops.
Code SoundWav for 10% off your first order.
God, wouldn't that be amazing?
If we were getting money from NatureBox, that would be amazing.
Gosh, if NatureBox was sending me some snacks right now, I'm a little hungry. Anyway.
People do pay for this show. Let's stop doing ad reads.
Yep.
and so we have, again, the Quintesson ship just crashing. And
there's a big,
Metro
fight
Titan
between
is
Quintesson,
punching
Metro
it.
Titan, and Aileron, of course, is just zipping around here. She's just, and of course, she's got presidents with her.
Presidents, so plural.
Yeah, so she is not engaging so much as she is, like, observing and being like, oh, God, this is bad.
What do we do?
And then she transforms, and she's still holding them like little dolls, and it's so cute. And we do have President Viola Davis being like, this looks bad. And she's like, yeah. And Aileron's like, it does. But I don't know. This is kind of what we're used to at this point.
And she's like, okay, G.I. Joe, tell me exactly what you're going to do here. And he's like, well, here's a bunch of stuff that's happening in other G.I. Joe comics that precludes them from showing up here.
Yes.
But Scarlet's sending reinforcements.
Scarlet is on it. And they're like, is that going to do anything for us? And Talon, a.k.a. Jean, is like, I don't know, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to just let them work this one out.
Like, fingers crossed. boy. And even Aileron looks kind of like the sound I just made, being like, oh, jeez. And Optimus is just, his narration, he's like, I mean, he's doing what Optimus kind of tends to do in his narration. He's just kind of,
Yeah.
He's competing with Megatron, trying to sound Yeah.
High-minded.
Yeah. But he's talking about, like, we are what we experience. We're what how we react to experiences. Da-da-da. Look at this gigantic fight happening all around me while I'm standing here still. One of my sweet doll baby cadets just got his head split in two, and I'm standing here.
He seems really good at, like, not reacting to the death of people that are under his command.
Because there's Euler. There's his dead body. That's super sad. I'm real not happy about that. Slide is going to murder about 8,000 people, and I don't blame her. And Optimus is just kind of observing all of this.
Yep, I'm better stand here looking ominous.
And thinking about how we can change.
The good news is we get to go to Italy, and we get to see some real friends that we truly love.
Oh, thank goodness. We go to Cathedral.
And they must have, these friends who we truly love must have been dealing with Sharktacons, and now they're like, well, all right, good thing those guys are gone.
Right, we see, like, we touch on Italy, because of course we were here before, but we did not go here last issue, but now we just see Sharktacons flying away from Italy. So we did not actually see
what
they
did. We are aware
there
were Sharktacons here at one point.
Right. And we have Flint and Chameleon in their G.I. Yes. Joe ship. And we have
Marissa and TC and Buster. and they're just, you know, goofing on each other.
And even goofing with the reader, because we have TC saying, there they go. Marissa's like, you don't have to tell us, TC, we know. Which is a pretty good goof. I appreciate the fact that we're like nope, guess what? We're suddenly in Italy, and this was a thing, but it's not anymore. We don't have to worry about it.
And Thundercracker's like, hey, we should probably, like, follow them, right? And Marissa's like, why? Why do we do anything? We were on vacation.
Yeah. She's like, you look at all this bullshit that we just went through. You want to go invite more? That's
dumb. We were having a nice time.
TC, I was enjoying my time with you. And now you want to go.
It was a pleasant trip.
Yeah.
You brought your work email. That's not cool.
That is not cool. I do love that we can see Widow Teeny Lester has gotten one of these Sharktacon tails. Good job, Widow Baby. She's got, like, even, because, like, she's a tiny baby dog. So, like, she got, like, the tip of a Sharktacon tail.
It's a little papa.
That Sharktacon is just going to transform later and be like, oh, dip. Where did the back end of my tail go?
That's like my arm. I need that.
Like, and not, maybe not even. Maybe it's just like suddenly, like if your hair was just suddenly shorter one day. You'd just be like, who cut my hair? That Sharktacon's like, where did the little tiny bit of my tail
where
go?
Where did the tip of my pinky go?
A Widow Baby dog has it.
It's just chewing on it like a bone. And so Optimus is 4 million years ago, like, busting in. Yep. And he's like, guess what? We had a wire on Jetfire, you idiots. You dumb Morans.
You're
you
all under arrest. Idiots. I'm a cop boy. I'm a law boy. You're crime boys.
Your crime days are numbered by this cop boy that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And Prowl is like, if you want to survive, put the guns down, your hands up. Because that's what Prowl sounds like, unless he sounds like this.
I was going to say, your voice for Prowl continues to change. And every time you're like, that's what Prowl sounds like.
Whichever's worse in the moment.
Whatever Greg decides in the very moment that he is reading Prowl, that's what Prowl sounds like.
That is correct. Prowl's bad.
Sometimes it's going to sound like this, and you're going to be like, that's what Prowl sounds like.
What else is he going to sound like?
Like this.
You're correct. That is what he's going to sound like. And so we have Optimus being like, their kind never listens.
Right. He's running in, not giving a... Oh, God. He's
blasting just, heads.
Yeah, there he goes.
And even Per Owl.
And of course,
says,
yeah.
We need him alive. And Optimus says, I'm too angry to leave him alive. Cops get angry and we kill people. And so Jetfire shoots somebody who was backing them down and is like, hey, they were going to kill you. And Optimus is like, yeah, these guys lied to you. You should kill them all.
Yeah.
Like, this. It's some weird pages.
It's here we go. Here's a moment for like a little bit of discourse. And I think this is where it gets, where it feels like there is this like chasm between the character of Optimus Prime or Orion Pax or who have you. Because of course this is in the past. But seeing, like, what we are getting from Megatron right now, for instance, in Lost Light, which I know that, like, it's not completely fair. We have two completely different people writing these characters. But Optimus does, which, like, I guess might be a good thing. He gets very brash. He's kind of like, he flies off the handle very quickly. And, like, he changes, you know what I mean? Like, right. He was, like, he confirmed that, oh, people have been not telling me the truth. That's it. And he, like, went barreling in and was like, I'm gonna commit crimes now. Which seems very...
Crime time.
It's crime time. It's prime crime time. And,
time for slime crimes.
Committed by a prime, but he's not prime yet. But, like, it's... I don't know. It, so that, those are the things where... That's kind of where it gets hard, I think, for us on this show to kind of sympathize with Optimus too much.
Yeah.
Because, like, we get moments like this where you're like, dude, come on.
You're being a real cool jerk. It.
Just chill, babe. Come on.
So as they are dealing with all of this, all of the guns explode.
Yeah.
And guess who did that? It was Starscream.
Aw, there he is. He's like, oh, well, LOL. We'll
got
try
him.
Again. That was funny, right? Did you see
and
it?
And Soundwave is like, hey, you killed a bunch of Decepticons, including Needle Nose, except not, because Needle Nose is definitely still alive in the future.
Totally still alive in the future. And for a while, married to his husband, Horrible, until Soundwave gets him killed.
Who knows? Yeah, and Soundwave is saying, like, you may think my method's extreme, but... Sir Mega of Tron would agree with me that this is what we're supposed to be doing. And Soundwave is like,
I think you said Soundwave there and you meant to say Starscream, but
that is
exactly.
Correct.
But then also, I really appreciated this balance, because Optimus's narration in this moment, where we do see Starscream and Soundwave away from the destruction that just happened, Optimus narrates and says that Megatron's methods were vicious, which attracted followers like Starscream, but Megatron's goal was righteous, which attracted followers like Soundwave. And I appreciate that Optimus is aware and mindful of that balance. And that's exactly it. That's exactly kind of what we were saying last issue, too, was that, like, yes, Starscream was like, cool, I get it. Like, this is the game plan. Let's fucking win this. And Soundwave was like, oh, good, we're going to make things better for everybody. Great, I'm in. But yeah, so, and then, yes, like you said, Starscream kind of is, like, goading Soundwave a little bit and being like, this is just how things are going to be. Like, if you think this is going to be nice and, like, we're going to be pacifists,
yeah,
it's just not
gonna
how this is going
to
happen.
There will be dirty hands.
And then we cut back to RC swiping at, Wreckar, who was not fighting back, mind you. And we do have our sweet cassettes. Rumble and Frenzy are just like, oh, dip. Oh, shit, sweet flip. And she's, as they're just watching her, like, slash at this guy.
Yeah, and she's, you know, laying into him. He's saying, let's talk about the positron core.
Yeah.
And
let's maybe, like, cool it for a moment. And then we do have,
wave of Sharktacons.
Here comes a wave of babies. And it's
Sharktaconado.
There you go. And RC, though, sees this wave of Sharktacons, and she's shouting at them, like, hold on. So, like, all of a sudden things get way more heightened than...
She's like, I was just trying to spook him so I could get the thing.
Like, I just want to save my friend. He turns into a pretty Lamborghini.
But then Victorion busts through the wall.
Yeah.
It's really cute because Rumble and Frenzy are like, we're the good guys. Don't hurt us,
like,
please.
No, look, I only
we're trying to help.
Like, yeah. Come on, don't. Yeah, we didn't do this. And Optimus' narration is just like, okay, this was, you know, he's talking about this was what all started as a battle for freedom became a war of retribution. And, you know, it's kind of him commenting just, and it's kind of him reflecting on, like, how the war itself started and his
right.
start back in the day and, like, kind of where they are now. And, we can see...
Not only that, but, like, the cadets are learning from his bad example of, like...
Yeah!
Prime killed Galvatron. Everybody kill this guy. We can't let him get away.
Certainly. Which is a thing that Pyra Magna continued to bring up. She kept being like, remember how you murdered Galvatron?
Right.
And he's like, and... I had to. Like, that's a thing that had to happen. But then it's like, people are learning from your example, my boy. And we can see they're saying, they're like, Ramaj is getting away. And yeah, and this is where they're like, yeah, he killed Galvatron, go kill her. And golly, Optimus, What have you done, my darling? What kind of lessons are you teaching these kids?
We get a good little moment of Wreck-Gar being like, so wait, what's Galvatron and what did Prime do? And like, oh, Optimus shot him and ripped his head off. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Wreck-Gar's like, that's fine. My head comes right off. I'm basically a fiery from the labyrinth.
Wouldn't you know it, he gets blasted in the chest and bursts the positronic core and his head flies off.
Yep. And even on that last panel, on that page, Optimus keeps being like, I had to kill Galvatron. Like,
A guy in the chest and blows his head off.
There he goes. And yeah, there goes Wreck-Gar's head. He's Wreck-Gar. Fine. He's good. Yeah, but he's used to this. We did need that positron core.
And someone very much did. And now she won't get it to save her buddy.
Mm-hmm. And we can see she's... I really like this panel here. Actually, the set of three panels, because we have RC and she's kind of on the ground and she just kind of looks... bested. She's just kind of like in disbelief. She is almost defeated. Like, yes. She just wanted that positron core. And then we can see some of the cadets, and they're kind of like, some of them look a little beat, some of them look a little like almost scared, kind of like, are we good? And then
Ramesh holding her husband's head,
holding his head, just being, and it's sad because she's like, we were so close, we were close to New Cybertron, which, like, girl, I appreciate what you were trying to do, but like, m'lady, let's regroup and try something else next time. Like, again, I sympathize with you to a degree, but also not a great look, not super cute.
It's rough.
Yeah. And then we hop back 4 million years ago.
And Prowl is like, well, good job. We got rid of all the guns. Because all those guns blew up.
Mm-hmm. Great. No more guns going into Iacon for us. We did it. And Optimus or Orion's like, now is not the time.
Yeah, it's Miller time back at the station. And Outback is like, hey, Decepticon, you survived. What a good day for you.
Yeah, how about the Duke?
And Jetfire, who is traumatized on a bunch of different levels at this point, is saying, like, I don't think I'm a Decepticon. I killed somebody.
Which I appreciate.
And Outback is like, rad, good deal.
Yeah, Outback, immediately total dick, as if it's anything we didn't already know. But I really, really appreciate that line, that Jetfire saying he can't be a Decepticon because he killed someone.
Right.
Is like, very, I love that. That's very intriguing.
That's good shit.
Uh-huh. Because that's, again, it feeds back into, again, that little, like, gem of purity that's, like, started, like, at one point, it was like, no, this was supposed to be something good. This was supposed to be something good for everybody. And now he's looking back on it and being like, well, that, I can't do that anymore. And yeah, then of course, yeah, Outback, douche. And luckily, Jetfire's like, I am going to just punch you right in the face. Yeah. And Orion's like, nah, bring it back. And, Orion's just kind of like, he's saying what he was saying. Yeah. You were used.
Decepticons used you and you didn't have a choice. And what do I do now? Well, you probably become a scientist for the Autobots. Sounds like a thing.
I guess. How about that's what that? You can do. Yep. There you go. And we do get another good line from Jetfire where he says, not everything about the Decepticons deserves to be stopped. Which is true. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I appreciate that it's not a clear cut and paste, black and white, one or the other kind of thing.
Get some real dick shit from Optimus saying, like, they blow up their own soldiers to stop us, and there's only one kind of answer for that violence. Only one language they'll respect.
Yeah. Like, it's a little heartbreaking. It undoes the good that we are getting from Jetfire, which I do think is so interesting. And that's where I do wonder, I feel like the way it's written, I'm like, John must be doing this the way, like, intending us for us to read it the way that we do, because I'm reading this as, like, Optimus
is kind of a... I'm sure
there's
a journey we're going on.
Certainly. But right here, I'm like, no, he's a little villainous here. Like, because really, if you are thinking this with any, if you're approaching this with any sort of, like wanting to remain aloft at the situation and not be hard in the paint one way or the other, Jetfire sounds right here. And Orion sounds like he's being unreasonable. Like, it, which is really interesting to me, and I appreciate. And so that's where I hope that that is the intent here, and not that we're just supposed to be blindly following Optimus's lead, that we're not supposed to be thinking Jetfire is an idiot and he should be looking around him. It should be us being like, or that like we're okay in being like, no, Orion right. sounds like he's the one
being an asshole.
Yeah, like he's the one who is jumping to too many conclusions here. Luckily,
yes, the opposite of an asshole is Soundwave, and he's like, "Hey, check it out, Horrible and Needle Nose, you're both alive.
They both, great job. Yeah, they escaped that blast."
And they're like, "Yeah, well, who blew up those guns though? Like, the only people who could do that was us and your team." And Soundwave is like, "Well,
this is where things do get pretty interesting and a little like a kind of another little kind of tick." Like if there was some great big spiritual or board of like who kind of has like marks against them, Soundwave would kind of get another one here. He knowingly lies, like he knowingly sows seeds of right. deceit here, which is what we know that he's also done recently as far as the books are concerned, is that because of course he's lying about Horrible. He's lied to Needlenose about Horrible, and we can see here we are millions of years ago, he's doing a similar thing here, lying to both of them and saying that Prowl and Orion Pax are putting us against each other.
They're apart, uh-huh. And so we're going to split them apart.
Uh-huh.
And so we go back to the modern day, and Optimus is, you know, in voiceover saying, like, why did we just kill all the Jungians again? Like, did they have to die for Earth to live? Like, I know they attacked us, but, like, come on. And so he talks to Soundwave, and Soundwave is like, or he's saying, ask the Sharktacons to stop. And Soundwave is like, but that's the only way we're going to prevent future attacks. And Optimus is like, come on, just have him back off.
Yeah.
And even Pure Magna is like, why that?
Right. And of course, she's Victorian at this point. But Victorian, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. And we finally get some good introspection from Optimus here saying, like, I thought when I annexed Earth that was the way to protect it, but it's just made everything super duper worse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another option we can do here. And even Rummage is like, why are you guys backing off? And Optimus is saying, well, I destroyed my world and right. I'm destroying this world, and I have to like stand down, and it's time to work together and try and build something for everybody. And the cadets are like, but we just like learned all this stuff that's the exact opposite of what you're saying.
Right. Also, Euler's dead, Optimus.
Yeah.
Papa Prime.
And Optimus is like, well, we got a bunch of their guys, too, so I think we're even.
Like, a bunch of people killed a bunch of people, which,
it all evens out.
and Soundwave's saying, but what about my new millions of children, the Sharktacons? They've been servants of the Junkions for as long as they can remember.
He's like, just open the door and let them run out.
Just unlock all of their collars. Just set them free. Put them out in the woods. They'll be fine.
They'll figure it out.
And he's like, and Optimus is like, look, if we want, everybody pick up your weapons and we can continue to beat the shit out of each other. Or maybe we can all just live together instead. Huh?
Everybody just chill. Everybody just chills for a minute.
Everybody get into my pocket spa. And Ramage is like, maybe. And right. she's kind of holding, it's kind of this like lovely grotesque scene. She's holding Retgar's head and she's looking at him and she's like, well, okay, maybe. And I was just like, great. That's what I wanted to hear.
And we get some cool shots of mm-hmm. the destruction and carnage and everything. And Ramage says, like, well, what now? And Optimus is like, well, first off, let me just pull my Titan back for a minute.
Yeah. Just, hey, big boy, just sat down this big old Quintesson ship, please. And the
human Earth presidents are like, well, what's going on now?
Yeah.
Are they working together? And everyone's like, I got, I'm watching the same stuff you're watching, man.
Right. Like, I could not tell you. I'm just observing. I'm just a viewer in this theater like you are.
And we see TC and Marissa show up, and that's nice.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we think we got an idea.
Yeah, they're like, okay. And it's Marissa saying that. So, like,
yeah.
TC, you prince. He brought her around.
And so we go to Mexico City and we see a couple dead Sharktacons.
Yeah, poor babies.
And this Jazz and this lady are still here. And she's like, well, I work at a cable news station and my bosses want me to do a story on Cybertronians. So now's your chance to tell the world what you think Cybertronians are.
Which is, there you go, that's a scoop.
That's a scoop. The liquid you, everybody.
And he does, I will say this, and I did make a note that just says, and like, and I you know what, if you enjoy this whole side story with Jazz, I'm sorry we've been like, yeah, like good. Because again, he's a lovely boy, I love him, I appreciate this lady character here, again, I feel for her in moments where I'm like, just leave her alone. But in this end here, this moment kind of feels like a ham-fisted fanfic a little bit. Like, oh, don't worry, everybody.
Well, now they're friends.
Now they're friends. And he's going to be on TV. And he's going to bring his electro bass. Of
everybody
course.
Wins.
Great. Perfect. It's a little too, yeah. It's a little...
convenient.
On the nose. Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. I like Jazz. I'm glad he's here.
Bikini Atoll. We're
yeah,
building a new
we
cyber
over to Bikini Atoll. Oh, look. Yeah, look. Everybody's working together. They're like, here was their great plan. This is what TC and Marissa came up with. They were like, remember
like,
that space?
This is where we kept the robots before.
Yeah.
Why not just give it to them?
Yeah. Here's a nice secluded island. Just let them live here. And it's President Viola Davis is like, she's kind of laying it out. She's like, it's a refugee camp. In the
damn it, Fairborn, your methods are unorthodox, but you get the job done.
She got the job done. She did it.
Here's your gun and badge.
You can have them back. We want you back in charge. And of course, they're looking at TC with his little tiny baby Buster. And we can see Ramaj is here. She's got her husband. It's, well, what's left of him. And he's, of course, being a goof because that's what he does. And she's just like, I will throw you into the ocean if you do not stop talking. And yeah, we can see, oh, poor cadets.
Like,
Slide
yeah.
is like.
Hey, by the way, they did kill my brother and everybody's just cool with this?
Yeah, everybody's just acting like that didn't happen. And Pyrrha's like, well, I mean, the Prime is supposed to stand for justice. And then, of course, which I do think, I will say it's funny to me a little bit that we have Flint and Chameleon. Every time we've seen them in these issues, which I think is only twice, but they're always just in their ship. So to me, it almost feels like they've just been like hovering around. They're like, I don't want to like actually get involved here. They're just kind of widowmakering, like,
take off. We can just chill here.
Yeah, I'm just going to be back here and like watch what's happening and like help out if I can.
Right. If you need us, we'll show up. Like, we'd really prefer not to.
Yeah, I'm going to hang out in the back of Hanamura. Thanks. So they're just kind of flying around. They're like,
right.
Oh, great. This looks like this wrapped up quite nicely.
Yep. Nothing bad will happen here. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. All these robots living together sounds great. It's like the Decepticon commune, but on Earth.
Great. Perfect.
And not
everybody
run by
wins.
The sweetest prince boy that we have here.
By a bunch, and it's purely people who were trying to kill each other 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
And so we have Aileron and Jetfire sort of ruminating on things and having a nice little Miller Time moment. And Jetfire saying, you know, I think that Optimus guy is going to be okay.
His... I guess we'll keep him.
I mean, what a fucking moment this is. It's like everything, I guess everything worked out all right.
I guess
and
it
then
worked
smash
out.
Cut to RC crying in front of comatose Sideswipe.
It's so sad. This
it's super duper sad. Doc is like trying to console
her. He's comforting her. Yeah, he's kind of like sitting next to her like, oh, and yeah, what a sweet little baby. We all love Doc. He's a sweetheart. And we have Optimus kind of in the doorway observing the fact that like obviously I love RC. And like we've, you know, she's been discussed multiple times on the show and just kind of the evolution of her character. But, I mean, and again, if you have listened to the show, you know that I feel very much for this scene in particular, because I love Sideswipe. I love the Lamborghini twins so much. So I'm like, RC, my girl, I feel you here. I'm with you. I'm sitting on that floor with you. Just so sad that Sideswipe, we can't get him to wake up. She just wants Sideswipe to wake up. And I'm with her. I'm It's sad. And obviously he'll be okay. They will figure out something. But poor girl, she wants her friend awake. She finally found somebody who spoke her language.
I really thought, like, at the capper of all this, I'd be like, well, you know what? We're going to get Sideswipe back.
Yeah, and right. Like, that would be like...
We did not get Sideswipe back.
We did not get him back. And we destroyed, like, this really powerful item that not only could get him back, but just in general, we destroyed a really powerful item that, like... was very useful and good. And it was just like, what, boom, done, gone, bye. Where did it even come from? I don't know.
Only Rekgar knows.
Which, hopefully, he can just... Hopefully, maybe he has a drawer.
Like, oh, yeah, let me go get my other one.
He's like, oh, yeah, hold on. And then he'd be like, Ramaji, will you please take me to my positron core drawer?
the core drawer?
Take us over to the core drawer, please, my darling. And she'd be like, oh. But yeah, so that's that little heartbreaking panel is where Optimus Prime 6 closes.
There you go, everyone. What a ride.
It was the end, and it was called Feel Safe Without Regrets. Nah, babe, I got some regrets. I want my boy back. Give me my Lamborghini back.
I want to say a huge hearty thank you to all my good friends that include David Cabrera, Jay Riley, Samuel Jocks, Jacob Stevens, aka the Fifth Virtuoso, Kyle Schaefer, Bitty Bot Jazz, and Elizabeth Jackalope. Thank y'all, and thank everybody else for kicking in. That's incredibly cool of you.
Thank you so much. I apologize again for butchering names last week. Thank goodness Greg is back to read those.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. If you're interested, go to patreon.com, soundwave.
Soundwave without an E.
Rick and Morty 100 years forever and ever.
Forevernever.com. That's our site. Transformanauts, do you have any positron cores?
Transformanauts, if you got any, you gotta tell us.
Transformanauts.
What's that you got behind your back?
I see you hiding something back there.
It's a puppy.
Oh my goodness. Where did you find this?